The community's mayors join us on Sound Ideas most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. GLT's Ryan Denham is in the studio with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Ryan?
Downtown Bloomington was the topic du jour last night. Alderman got the final report from the Downtown Task Force. We'll get to that. There were some early fireworks, though, first during public comments and then during the usually uneventful consent agenda. So thanks for coming in today to recap the meeting, Terry.
Thank you very much. Good to be here, Ryan.
Alderman Kim Bray, who represents the city's east side, pushed successfully last night to cancel plans for a January 16th council meeting, which we were going to use to meet with Connect Transit and library boards to talk about the proposed Catalyst project.
And that's for the Downtown Task Force. So I'd slightly correct your statement earlier. The Downtown Task Force presented part of their plan last night. They were supposed to present the full plan last night and next week. It's the Catalyst project that they were supposed to present a week from this evening. And that's what was on, just by chance, happened to be on our annual calendar. And that one piece was pulled by Alderwoman Bray. She had concerns that a committee of the whole meeting take place on a Tuesday because of Martin Luther King's birthday on a Monday. Now, we do that pretty routinely for most of our meetings. I'm not totally sure why a committee of the whole meeting would be different, but she had some concerns about that, and the council, by 5-4, agreed.
And Alderman Bray has expressed some concerns about the library transit Catalyst project in the past. I remember a task force meeting Correct. That I went to. She expressed some concerns there.
Absolutely.
So what are your takeaways from last night? Essentially five aldermen or four other aldermen ended up joining her in that vote to pull that off of...
Obviously, I disagree with it, you know, and I think the main purpose was to not have a discussion, have information presented, I think. You'd have to talk to the five individual alder people to determine that. If that's the case, that's very poor communication. That is, we need to hear what Connect Transit has to say and what their needs are for downtown. We need to hear more from the library. We need to hear more information from the Downtown Task Force. We had nine people put in volunteer time for many months coming up with these recommendations. At the very least, I think we deserve them the courtesy of listening to their final product and their final report. And actually, we will, because I have already signed the papers before I came here to call a special meeting 1 week from this evening. And we will basically, we will have probably a little shorter meeting than we would have maybe initially planned. Somewhere around maybe a 90-minute meeting, that's yet to be determined, between Connect Transit and a library board and the City of Bloomington. So we will have this information become public. I think it's unfortunate. From my perspective, more information is better than less. And I only found out about the possible proposal about 15 minutes before I came into the council chambers last night, and I think Amelia Burgess did. And in my State of the City message last night, I did stress better communication. That's not better communication. We all need to talk to each other. I don't know if Amelia Burgess, you'd have to ask her, felt sandbagged last night or anything, but that's not good communication. We should talk with each other. If we disagree, we disagree. If people don't agree with the Catalyst Project, and I think probably the majority of the council don't, that's fine. Let's at least hear what the needs are and why the task force that the council approved, this is not just a mayor's task force, it's a council approved, why did the mayor's task force that the council approved come up with these particular recommendations that happened to dovetail with the needs at the library and Connect Transit. And what are the costs of that? Again, at the very least, listening to new creative ideas is very, very important in making progress, I think, generally speaking. So bottom line is, that's the long answer, as usual, Ryan, I'm disappointed in last night's vote, but it doesn't mean I have the authority, in a sense, to override last night's vote because I'm calling a special meeting a week from tonight.
So in subsequent conversations with any of the five aldermen who voted in that way last night, did you hear anything about their preferences for how they want to talk about this potential library transit project? Is it they didn't like the venue that was going to be set up,
in public at least, there were no options presented by those who voted no. And it would be nice when you, if you vote no, not always, but I think on most things, if you're voting no on something that's like a project, it'd be nice to have some sort of alternative. What other way would you like us to move rather than to just oppose things? So if we had some positive ways that we might move forward, that might be useful. So, but regardless of last night's vote, the 5-4 vote to say that we don't want to talk about it, we are going to talk about it anyway because I'm calling a special, or I've already called the special meeting. I've already, as I say, I've already signed the documents. It will still happen 1 week from tonight, 5:30, Osborne Room. Everything else is still going to happen.
All right. So you've said you're personally open to talking more about this library transit catalyst project idea, but there now at least appears to be 5 aldermen who don't support or at least don't want to talk about it. So why doesn't the council just move on to other things? You've got a lot of stuff on your to-do list.
We have many things to do, but there are several things here. First of all, it sets a very, very bad precedent, and I don't think some of the council members, maybe the 5 who voted, all 5, don't understand. If you ask people to commit their time and energy, you at least need to listen to what their conclusions are and what that evidence is. Secondly, we should never set a precedent where getting more information and getting more ideas and figuring out what our intergovernmental partners need is something we should shut down. We should never shut down conversations of new ideas and new information and data. The other thing that I think is important is that we should have an open forum where we also allow the public to listen to these conversations. Maybe the aldermen have made up their minds, but maybe the public hasn't made up their mind. So for a variety of reasons, we will still have this conversation. I do have this within my authority. I have already exercised that. Of all of my faults, and there are many, acting decisively is not one of them.
During your State of the City remarks last night, which opened the council meeting, you stressed the importance of the council working together. And then almost immediately, this issue pops up with the...
That was very unfortunate.
It's fortuitous.
Yes, fortuitous.
So it seems like there are still some unresolved issues on the council.
Let me make it quite clear. There are quite a few unresolved issues on the council. And that doesn't mean that one group is got a monopoly on truth and the other one doesn't. What I hope we all do is let's all check our egos at the door and work together and try as much as possible to get past any past acrimony that there might be, or feeling like you were blindsided, or feeling like you just don't like the way somebody's doing something. We're all human beings. We're all going to make mistakes. So I would say, let's all just work together. And that's easier said than done. Last night demonstrated that, unfortunately.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm joined in studio by Terry Renner, the mayor of Bloomington, who joins us most Tuesdays after council meetings. Another surprise, Terry, last night came during public comments. Developer Jim Pearson, who's also a planning commission member, pitched this plan that he has for a downtown hotel and conference center attached to the arena. What did you think about what he had to say there?
Well, obviously, it sounds like it's an exciting, in a sense, set of projects. And I do know Jim Pearson. He's been a longtime member of the Planning Commission. I reappointed him. And I think he's also served in a local elected capacity in the Quad Cities area. So he's somebody with a lot of knowledge and a lot of great ideas. So the next step would be, though, for our staff to vet these proposals and to see if they're possible. One thing that we do have to recognize that Jim himself brought up last night is that control over the property is critical. Control over a mall or a strip mall is usually not much of a problem. There's usually one or two owners. Control over a downtown block or maybe a couple downtown blocks may mean you have a half a dozen or a dozen owners, and that can be a mess. And certainly in rebuilding and revitalizing Uptown, they ran into that. We're running that into that into... In revitalizing downtown Bloomington as well. So I look forward to our staff vetting this proposal and taking a look at it in more detail. I'd love to work with Jim on this. I hope that this turns out favorably.
And it seemed a little odd to me, at least, to have this kind of thing surface during a public comment. I mean, not that I love like backroom deals, but it seems like a more appropriate way for something like this to pop up. Did you know he was going to come speak to the council about this, or is this the first that you all were kind of hearing about it?
Since I'm not the person who checks my city email every day. It is possible that there was some heads up there. So I did not know until Jim came forward. It is possible that he contacted people either by phone call or by email. But this might be the way that sometimes it's just style. And I'm not going to hold style against anybody. So this might be just his way of saying, hey, this is a public splash. This is an idea. And I'm going to now circle back and work with staff on that. Frankly, from my perspective, however ideas come forward, if they're good ideas, if they're viable, let's move with them, because that means we'll make Bloomington a better place to live, work, and play.
So what's the status of some of the other downtown hotel projects that have come up over the last couple of years? So the front and center version of it, the Pantograph Boutique Hotel version of it, what about those ones?
Well, there were a couple, actually, front and center buildings possibilities. Both of those we rejected. And one of them would have been a $50 million investment, but we needed people to show that they were going to bring their $40 million if we were going to give them $10 million in tax rebates. And let me be clear, we would not be giving them any money that we are currently getting. The money would have to come by virtue of their investment. So the project has to pay for itself. There's not one penny of current taxpayer dollars that we would dedicate to that. Both of those deals were not deals we could accept. No matter how much I want downtown to thrive, we will not accept any deal. We've got to protect taxpayers. We've seen the price in the past 20 years or so or more where we've written contracts that did not pay protect Bloomington taxpayers. That's not happening under my watch.
A hotel is one of the ideas listed in the Downtown Task Force final report that was presented last night. But there's lots of other kind of lower hanging fruit in that report, not nearly as controversial as a catalyst project.
That's what mostly was presented last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that report will be ratified or formally accepted in some way by aldermen? Or is it going to be kind of piecemeal?
It might be piecemeal. That's something I haven't circled back with Alderman on in the last however many hours since it is that we've met. Maybe it's a little over 12 hours. But it could be that the non-catalyst project is approved by the city council as a package. It could be that some pieces are. Some of the pieces have fiscal impacts that are more substantial than others. Some of them are very low-lying fruit. Some of them we could conceivably just turn over to Parks and Rec. One idea I kind of liked was making all of downtown a park and maybe having Parks and Rec handle everything. And that might be more effective than our current practices.
So much of the Downtown Task Force report focuses on placemaking. What are some examples of those that you like out of the report?
Well, one of them that I just mentioned, but also having artists painting over, for example, our electrical boxes. That's win-win for everybody. Possibly closing off streets or the area, one or more blocks, or even if we don't close them off permanently, if we close them off during certain times or more regularly, like the WGLT jazz concert, if we have more people asking for things like that, people are going to be more used to coming downtown. Obviously, GLTs is probably our most successful event, and it'd be nice to have more of things like that.
You're just trying to butter me up, Terry. Come on. Uptown Norco.
I think that's one of the first times I've ever heard anybody tell me I've tried to butter them up. But thank you, Ryan.
Uptown Normal has the circle, right? So I want to ask, what kind of public spaces are being talked about for downtown Bloomington in this task force report? I heard a lot last night about the front of the Law and Justice Center.
Front of the Law and Justice Center should be the low-lying fruit. And it's something that we should be able to partner with the county, even if we write most of the checks. It shouldn't cost a lot of money to – there's a big space there. It could be a big public space. That could be even a place where we don't have to close off streets for a jazz fest, or we don't have to close off streets for a blues fest, or whatever it might be. And it's a place that people feel comfortable coming to. But it does need lots of work. And in fact, I believe Alderwoman Amelia Burgess joked last night that she managed to find the least offensive picture of the current downtown plaza that she presented last night. So that is certainly, those are the things that are comparatively low cost, but could bring high yield as we move forward. Parking, changing from parallel parking that nobody really likes doing anyway to a diagonal parking gives us about 50% more spaces. And let's also be clear, there really isn't a parking problem in downtown. There's a parking perception problem, which, you know, we have to work on.
And do you think that increasing walkability of downtown would then kind of change that perception a little bit?
Absolutely. As well as we're in the process of acquiring strategic properties, and those I can't talk about. But as we acquire those, we will begin to alleviate some of the more visible parking issues and make downtown a much more viable and much more attractive place for people to come.
That's Terry Renner, the mayor of Bloomington, who joins us most Tuesdays after council meetings the night before. I'm Ryan Denham.